Hello, Radio Memphis. This is Kathleen Davison, and I'm here with Pamela Beatty, and we're going to be talking paranormal again with you today on the DJ Bay Radio Show. So today, we're going to continue the story that we began last week, and if you need to catch up, check it out. We've got the free podcast posted on the Primrose Lane movie page on Facebook, so you can get caught up with us. Today, we're going to take the story a little bit further. So I moved into a house. Here's your quick teaser catch-up, right? I move into a house right away. My family is spoken to by a woman's disembodied voice. All right, and moving on, the next thing that happened in very consistently is my husband and I would hear footsteps and what sounded like doors opening and closing. And this wasn't just your average creak and groan. In this home, they had pocket doors that slide into the wall. So it's a very distinct noise. You can hear them sliding on the track. And for the first year that we lived in the home, we had, because we had an 18-month-old child when we moved in, we had baby monitors all over the house. The house was almost 5,000 square feet. So you know, from one end to the other, you couldn't hear what was going on without these baby monitors. But we would hear on a very regular basis what we believed were the footsteps of our child. And for instance, when we would be downstairs watching TV late at night, we'd hear the footsteps, and we were so proud of our son that we taught him at a very young age to get up and go to his little, you know, toddler potty in the bathroom by himself at night and put himself back to bed. Well, about a year into this, my husband was out of town working. I was in my office, which is in the upstairs of the house, and it connects to my son's room via one of these pocket doors that goes in and out of the wall. And I had the door open. I write late at night when the rest of the world is asleep so I can stay focused. I was working on a screenplay. And my son was asleep in bed, and he used to fall out of the bed. So we had his mattress right on the floor, and we had it set up like a romper room with one of those gym mats that goes, we had it wall to wall. And if you know what I'm talking about, those vinyl gym mats, and they have a very distinct crunching noise when you step on them. So it's, I believe it was around 2:45 in the morning, and I hear a sound that I'm accustomed to, the crunch, crunch, crunch of the little feet on the vinyl mat, pad, 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 little feet on the hardwood floor, stepping over the carpet that's in the upstairs foyer there and into the bathroom. And I'm waiting, because usually the pattern is my son would go to the bathroom, and if I was awake working, he'd usually appear quietly in the doorway of my office and come in and get a little huggle buggle before he went back to bed. But he doesn't appear in the doorway. Finally, it bothers me because I don't hear him walk back to his room. So I go and I peek in his room, and there he is, sound asleep, with our little dog sound asleep on his back on top of him. So it was clear that neither one of them had moved. And I want to take a moment here to address the dog, because when we moved into the house, we had one little dog. Eventually, we added another dog, another kid. But the dog was very sensitive, and certainly there were times when the dog would react to things, barking, tracking with her eyes, following things that we couldn't see. But then there were also times, and this is a perfect example, when an event occurred where, you know, there was an audible noise that the dog did not react to. And over time, we deduced that there were things in the house that were as common there and belonged there as much as we did, and the dog perceived that and reacted to those things the same way they reacted to us. If I got up in the middle of the night, the dog stayed asleep on the bed. So I've established that something has walked through the house, that it's not my son, and we're the only humans there. And so about 45 minutes later, same thing happens. I hear the crunching of the vinyl mat, and I look over immediately this time. Nothing. I can't see anything. I can hear the footsteps. This time they go on the hardwood floor outside the room, and then they pad down the staircase. Again, I go in. My son is still asleep. Dog is still on his back. Now we're going to take a moment here and go to Pamela. And Pamela's, you know, hearing these stories for the first time. So Pamela, do you have any reflections on this? This rocked our world for my husband and I, because like I said, for a year, we're thinking it's our kid upstairs, and now our reality comes crashing in, and we think there's been something here the whole time, and walking back and forth from our kid's room, by the way, And now it's, you know, this is a totally different reality to contend with. Do you have any thoughts to share on that?
Well, I have a question. I have a quick question for you. So before you moved into this house, had you ever had, because I don't think I've ever asked you this, have you ever had that experience to where you heard voices, footsteps?
Thank you. That's a good question. Since I was a little kid, you know, in my interpretation, like I said in our last segment, at heart, I'm a skeptic. It's not that I don't allow all possibilities. I just don't believe it unless I personally experience it. In my own experience, my whole life, I had had what most people would qualify paranormal experiences. Because there's such a raging skeptic in me, I would try so hard to stick my head in the sand and pretend it didn't happen. I became really good at forgetting. And I learned that the more I ignored those things, the less occurrence there would be of them. And at the times, especially in my preteen years, when I got so hell-bent, I wanted to understand what was going on. Nobody could give me the explanation. And when I tried to peek further to understand for myself, the activity picked up significantly. So I had kind of learned, leave it alone. I don't want it. So yes, had I had experiences before in my life? Yes. But I had learned not to look, basically.
Well, it's because the reason I asked the question, because it's, I saw this as being not just a paranormal experience for you, but a way to force you to pay attention. It's like, okay, she was ignoring us, so we're not going to let her. We're going to make her pay attention, which quite often happens. I did the same thing as a kid, by the way. I heard the voices from the get-go and had, you know, the imaginary friends thing, but I ignored it. And the reason I did is because of my childhood experience of being raised in a very religious household, and I was told it was the devil that was talking to me. So I was curious as to if this was the house that blew everything wide open for you. And it's interesting that you didn't have those profound experiences until your son got to be a little older, right? Because I think you would have left the house. I think you might have just taken off.
Well, and even then, I didn't feel endangered. It creeped me out, definitely. My husband and I, like I said, it was a mind-blowing thing. But I have to tell you, when we looked back then at that year prior, there were a ton of instances where I would hear footsteps in the middle of the night. And because I had a child and it sounded like they were the same weight, you know, very distinctly sounded like a child, I would hear footsteps pad from his room into my room. And it's that thing when you are sleep deprived with young children, you will steal every last wink you can get. And so I'd be like, I am not opening my eyes until the kid pokes me and says mama or asks for a glass of water. And there were so many times where I'm waiting. And finally I opened my eyes because I can feel him standing there and there's nothing there.
Yeah.
And I was certain that I didn't dream it. It happened so many times. If it was a dream, it was one hell of a repetitive dream. And it wasn't just the boy. We had talked in the last episode about the woman's voice. The two most consistent experiences we had in the house seemed linked to this little boy and to this woman. And from the day we arrived to the day we left. And there was another set of footsteps that we had heard that were distinctly different from what we identified as being our child, that sounded like a very light framed woman. And I don't know if we sort of filled in the blanks because we had heard the woman's voice, or what made us come to that conclusion, but that was how we described her. And like I said, that we weren't the only ones. There were other visitors coming to the house who had heard her, who had seen her, and maybe too it was once people started reporting seeing her. We had not at that point, that we had, you know, just decided for ourselves that she was there.
Well, I think it's interesting that you started off thinking it was your son, because it was a little boy. So it would have had the same level of heaviness as a little boy would have, because it was a little boy.
And we'll get into eventually, because you know? Pamela, when she came to do an investigation later on in this tale, she was very specific about the little boy and who he is. But you're just going to have to hang tight with us and stay tuned, because we're going to take this in the order that it happened, and we're not close to being there yet. So I'm just going to make sure you don't give any spoilers.
I'm not giving it away. I'm not giving it away. But I just wanted to clearly say you weren't imagining it. It was actually a little boy.
Right, right.
You know, you can tell more later about the
absolutely
that story, but it was a little boy.
Absolutely. So, Pamela.
Yes.
if people have an experience like this, and part of, you know, again, I get asked all the time, why didn't you leave? Now mm-hmm. you and your husband have realized that it's not him. Why didn't you leave? And again, I come back to, even once we realized, okay, it's not him, and we realized this, whatever it is, has been with us for a year, it didn't do anything to harm us. We didn't feel threatened. If anything, we felt like there was another little kid in the house there with right. us. If anything, I may have felt somewhat maternal and concerned than terrified. So when people have experiences like this, should they be concerned? Should they be getting the heck out? Or is it just, you know, there's more to heaven and earth than we've dreamt of, and we coexist all the time with this stuff, and no matter where you go, it may be, and maybe some people are more tuned in and need to make peace with that, because that was kind of my, yes. because as I shared with you, I had had experiences my whole life, and I think I had kind of hit my tipping point, and also because, and we'll get into this in future episodes, my children started to have experiences. For me, it was... I didn't have the validation as a child when I went to my parents for the explanation. They weren't able to give it to me. And I think it really was damaging and confusing to me. And I carried that with me. So now it was recropping up in my life. And I think I felt like I'm getting to the bottom of it. I'm not going to misinform my own kids if they go down this path. I have to understand this for them. Do you want to share with us, you know, if you have an experience like this, should you leave? What does it mean?
Well, absolutely every situation is different.
Mm-hmm.
There was no way you were going to leave. It was part of your pre-planning before you came into a body. And so your higher consciousness wasn't going to let you leave, and you were safe. There was, because yes, there were many, many spirits in the house, which mm-hmm. we'll get into later, but you weren't going to be harmed by them.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some houses that have pure evil in them, and yes, you should leave. You can stay there and battle if you want. You can call me and I can come in and get them. But you know what I mean? But
so you're our Ghostbuster.
Yes, that's right.
You can do that.
I'm the ghost exorcist, I guess you'd say. But if it's bad, if they're attacking you, if they're trying to harm you in any way, which they can, if they're scaring the bejesus out of you, then yes, you can leave. I mean, why wouldn't you? But in your case, there was no harm. I mean, no one really intended harm. Mm-hmm. Well,
we'll get into that.
I'll do a quick teaser. Yes, there was a couple that did intend harm. But that's what you call me for.
at that point in the history of the happenings, you're saying we weren't crazy not to leave, and our instincts were correct. We had a healthy curiosity, and we were not being threatened. And, you know, this is part of what's so intriguing to me in my own personal journey with this, because when you see movies, everything is dramatized and kids' heads would be spinning around at this point, and projectile fluids. And that's not the kind of story I tell. That's not the kind of film Primrose Lane is. And we continue as an episodic series. And what I wanted to do was share a paranormal story that's not a horror story, but is really intriguing in, you know, that mental way of what exactly is going on, so that we can all try to understand better. So we hope you'll come back and join us for our next episode. We'll be tuning in every Saturday on the DJ Bay radio show. We would love to talk with you live. So check in with us each week. Now, Pamela.
Yes, ma'am.
Present. Next week, we're going to get into this, where it gets a little scarier, where it turns down what might have been the wrong avenue, and where the children start to be impacted. You want to give us any little parting cliffhanger here of thoughts?
Well, it's based on other dimensions. Mm-hmm. I'll say that. It's based on not just this world and the spirits of this world, but spirits from other dimensions and how they negatively influenced your house.
Mm-hmm.
How's that?
That's good. So tune in with us next Saturday, where we will take you to other dimensions. Thank you so much, Radio Memphis. DJ Bay, back to you.